You know, it struck me yesterday after we talked that there are some that we need to relook at all of the basics in light of this whole idea of what happened at the counting of the Omer and the coming of Pentecost and everything. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. So go first to John 3.
Tell Andrew what the counting of the Omer is.
What?
Tell Andrew what the counting of the Omer is.
You can do that.
The whole Bible study. Or several.
25 Bible studies.
Where are we going?
Big John or Little John?
John chapter 3. Verse 1. Basic basics. Pre-kindergarten. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus was part of the Sanhedrin. He was equivalent to there's nothing in our culture equivalent to it, but he was like I guess the closest we could get to is he'd be like one of the Supreme Court justices or one of the senior senators or something. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi. Now for a member of the Sanhedrin to call Jesus Rabbi would have been unheard of in public. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, again, one of these deals where Jesus says something that makes no sense, doesn't answer the question, doesn't respond to what he's talking about. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see or perceive or understand the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And again, Jesus didn't pay any attention to his question. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell where it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of God. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe them not, or believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man ascendeth up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And Moses lifted up the serpent, that's good. So the bottom line is, we have something like 85 million people who claim to, in the United States, who claim to have had a born-again experience. Or claim to be born again. I'm not sure they had the experience. It's not our business. But what does it mean? We think we can be born again by changing the way we think. We think we can be born again by studying something. We think I'm going to be born again if you're one of the innumerable people in the world, by being by a belief in reincarnation. But that's not what this says. Really, the word born again means, literally, it means existent from the first estate. Existent from the very beginning. And then he said, no man, the only ones that can return to heaven, whatever that is, are the ones that came from heaven. Now the human race was made from the dust of the earth, and God breathed on him and became a living soul, but not a spirit. And so the whole idea, nothing of this can make any sense to you until you've been born again, because if you believe these words, you can't even perceive what's being talked about unless you're born again. Now, born again has nothing to do with you. If you believe what we teach here, you have to have come to the total end of yourself, the end of all of your ideas and imaginations, the end of all your thoughts, not stopping them, but you must have pushed them to the fullest. Now, what happens? What's the transaction that takes place? What happens when you're born again? We saw what happened on Pentecost, because that which is of heaven doesn't mean of... It's a crazy word. I mean, the Garden of Eden was a parable for heaven. The New Jerusalem's a parable for heaven. The book of Revelation and its description about the gold the streets are paved with gold. It doesn't mean they're literally paved with gold. It means that that which is the most precious on earth is the most common. Now, a great many people are born into a culture. And as I've told you so often, if you'd have been born in Russia, you'd have been a good communist. If you'd have been born in India, you'd have been a Hindu. If you're an intellectual and you decided you wanted to go study a bunch of things, you can convince yourself that you believe in something. I got totally involved in all of this, what I call now the New Age crap, when I was a very young kid. A man named Robert Collier, and Paramesha Yogananda, and all these people. And I studied intently this idyllic state that is being talked about. But I went to India, and it wasn't idyllic at all. You've heard me talk about, I went with this guy named Russ Tamblyn, and we went to an ashram, and my first knowledge that something was wrong was as on the way up to this sort of hilltop ashram, there were hundreds and hundreds of young boys camped out, waiting for the yogi master to give them a nod so that they could be accepted. And those that were there were only the creme de la creme. The best of the best. And only a very small percentage of those was ever selected by a man to enter into this mystery. And a lot of the same things are talked about. You know, the idea of the abandonment of self. And you go through these total and incredible disciplines to destroy the appetites of the flesh. I mean, believe it or not, when I was at the peak of studying yoga, I could concentrate on my finger, and I could increase the blood flow. So you could almost see if there was a cut, you could almost see it heal because the blood flow was increased so much. And you can do all kinds of little tricks and little things. But it has absolutely nothing to do with being born again. It is a discovery of the latent powers of the soul. And if you want to know what the latent powers of the human race are, look and study what Adam did. And so man will try anything. He will go through this incredible regime of discipline and study to try to reactivate these latent powers of the soul. But it has nothing to do with being born again. He's still under a curse. Now, I've told you so many times that the best that the human race can be is a sperm cell. Colossians and other books are clear. The gospel has already been preached to every creature which is under heaven. Now, that means that just as a sperm cell has to enter the egg and lose its identity and become a new thing, so does a person who is born again. He has to enter into the egg and lose consciousness of himself. That's what the whole process means. That's what it means, that you're born from above. You're existent from the first estate. That's why John said, I write unto you, fathers, because you've been with him, the Father, from the true Father, from the beginning. I mean, this is clear. Look at verse 13. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. You can't get there from here. There's a gulf that is so impenetrable, it can't even be perceived by the human race. You can convince yourself and you can play mental games. That's why time and space itself, the purpose of it, is to be antagonism. So it comes against every possible belief system that causes you to think that you've been born again and causes you to try to play mental gymnastics. Now, it isn't our business who has been and who hasn't been. It's not, we can never say, Romans, Paul said, say not even in your heart who shall ascend into heaven, for that is to bring Christ down. And say not even in your heart who shall descend into the pit, that is to bring Christ up. But rather say this, the word is nigh. If you'll confess with your mouth and believe that in your heart he was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. Now that's not some, just because you say Jesus, Jesus a bunch of times. You have to believe that he is come in the flesh. He is come in your flesh. And that you, as that sperm cell, have entered into the egg of the New Jerusalem and it has swallowed up your life. Now, my only job isn't to judge whether you've been born again, but it is to challenge you in every arena so that there is no doubt in your mind that it has happened. And if it hasn't happened, then if you believe the Psalms of Ascent, don't give sleep to your eyes or rest to your head until you find out the habitation for the Holy One of Israel. Nothing else is more important. None of your mental gymnastics will work. None of your highfalutin ideas have any meaning. So the question, the basic is, in order to perceive even the kingdom of God, you must be born again. You must be existent from the first estate. The second basic, again in English, forever, our eternity is a long, long, long time. So I'm going to live forever. That's. I have no interest in living forever. I have an interest in living where there is no time. Eternity is the Greek Hebrew word ha-olam, the vanishing point, the place of no time. And that's where the mystery comes from, is this place of no time. And if you've been born again, then you've been given the gift of eternal life, a life without regard to time. But your mind will always try to bring you back into time. In time, the kingdom of time is called the kingdom of darkness. And the 23rd Psalm is called what? The valley of the shadow of death. Now, you can't play games. I mean, I had already gone through all of these stupid ideas and systems of thought. And I traveled the world enough to see the vanity of it and the futility of it, to see that in India, there is the whole caste system and the untouchables. It's the most racist society in the world because the untouchables are the darkest skinned. If Vijay Singh had been born in India instead of Fiji, he would have been an untouchable. Now, if you can't believe, as the cows live better, 1,000 times better than the untouchables. And so what happened? In order to excuse their not meeting the needs of the poor, they invented a belief in reincarnation, the wheel of life. And I've said so often, if there wasn't a belief in reincarnation in this generation, we'd invent it so that it could excuse our not laying down our life for the poor. Now let's go to Mark chapter 8. Now, I don't care whether you... I mean, it doesn't matter to me what you believe. It matters to me that I have challenged everything that you think you believe so that you find out for sure that you believe. Do you understand that? Do you understand why I've challenged you so much, Gary? Oh, he's picking on me again.
You're a bad man. No, I think I see it as pruning, and it is testing. And I do appreciate it because I know I needed it. Because I got a lot of beliefs.
I know, and they're just, it's that California shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
Worked fine, Tom.
Yeah, it really worked good, didn't it?
Yeah,
that's why you ended up homeless in my apartment.
Yeah, worked so.
Okay, go to Mark chapter 8. Go backwards from John. Take a left. Now, these are some of the very first words that Jesus said to his disciples. The first thing was, in verse 31... Peter's just made this great confession. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. For no man can know this except to be revealed by my Father. Okay, then. And then he said, in verse 31, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. He didn't rebuke him like we would think rebuke. He rebuked him by trying to save his life. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now in the Greek language, the deny yourself, himself, or yourself, and take up your cross are summary commands, once and for all time. It's the commandment of Christ. They're tied implicitly together because deny is apodiomai, means take absolutely no thought of or about yourself in any dimension, a total abandonment of self. And pick up your cross is... And the only way you can do that is to accept that you died on the cross 2,000 years ago. And there's been somebody masquerading as you. And the follow me is not a command. It's in the tense that indicates if these two happen, or really it's the one, if you deny yourself and pick up your cross, then you will follow him. Now, how much of your time during the day do you deny him? Sure, you don't deny. Every time something comes up, that interrupts your agenda, that interrupts your schedule, and you respond to it, you are what? You are denying Him. Anytime you're concerned with your future, concerned with tomorrow, you're denying Him. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall also the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Now, how are you ashamed of him? You're ashamed of him by being concerned for yourself. Can you grok that? In another passage he said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven. Now that word is another word for deny. I mean, it's another Greek word. It's aroneomai instead of apodeomai, and it means to build a dam. And you built a dam that protects you, and anything you do that protects you tends to build the dam, and you dammed up the flow of the rivers of living water, which are your heritage. You don't deny him by saying he doesn't exist. You deny him by saying you exist. Can you grok that? And again, all of this is because of what happened in Pentecost. Heaven came down and met you, met us, met out, met the human race. And the ones who had come to the total end of themselves, who were really sitting in the temple in fear for their own lives, who had no other options, then time ripped above each of them and they saw the fire of eternity. Or the fire that's protecting eternity. They saw the great gulf, or the portion of the great gulf. Now, and again, stop and think a minute. I don't care what branch of science or what branch of human thought that you can enter into, whether it's cosmology or high energy physics or chemistry or math, whatever, if you, the best that they have found, as they've pushed all barriers and have gone as far as they could in this generation thus far, was chaos. And it's not too, it's been for the last 20 or 30 years, all they found is chaos as they've gone farther and farther and farther.
I disagree.
Where do you disagree?
Well, now they've come to quantum physics, which states you create your own reality.
That's the biggest lie.
Except that I'm living.
Well, good for you. I'm happy for you. But quantum physics is chaos with the supremacy of self in the middle of it.
Except that I am one with the Christ, and the Christ is one with the Father. Therefore, I am one with the Father. Therefore,
if you've been born again, that's true. And time will tell.
The Father's will is that my will be done.
No, the Father's will is that His will be done.
Which His will is that my will be done.
That's blasphemy.
No, it's not. Because He created me to enjoy all that He has given me.
Except that there was a curse that entered into it. And all you can do is self-seeking.
I came from heaven. I always exist in heaven. I always will.
Well, I'm glad for you. All right, go to Matthew 18. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto them, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted, and become as the little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. again, the word for little children there is the word that means before self-awareness. That is critical in understanding. You must lose the capacity to think that the situation you're in is different, because the eternal words of Christ, it's finished. You've been perfected by one offering. But as long as you use your mind to create your own reality, then you're creating your own will instead of God's will. Jesus Christ, that's the one hallmark, that nothing was supreme to the Lord's will, to God's will. Every second of his life was emptied so that he was only about the will of the Father. He could have easily said what he just said, Andrew, that, well, I came from the Father, therefore my will is the Father's will. And that's what he was tempted with in the wilderness. Satan took him up on a high hill. And in a moment of time, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their power and the glory thereof. And Satan said to him, all this has been delivered over to me, and to whomsoever I will give it. He said, it must be about my Father's business. It's not my will, but the Father's. And even to the very end, he thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal with God, but he continually emptied himself and made himself of no reputation. The moment you become the subject of your sentence, then you're not about the Father's will, you're about the Hebrew word iniquity, which is self-seeking. You know what the Trinity is? Okay, but how does that exist? In eternity, the Father, the Spirit, and the Son are one. In space, it's another dimension. Now it's the Father and the Spirit. Now you add time and space. Now you have the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. But all of them are in subjection to the Father. And never, never, never did they ever confuse. The Holy Spirit always emptied himself for the purposes of revealing Christ. And the Christ always emptied himself for the purposes of revealing the Father. And as long as you're in this dimension, which is time and space. That's why the mystery of the book of Revelation is. When the seventh angel stands and he says, the mystery of God has been completed, then time shall be no more. And once time is gone, then everything in the universe will have to pass through a dot that's smaller than your eye can see. And you and I won't make it through. If you want to play quantum physics. Now, remember the words of Christ, the whole mystery of our existence in this world is the most despised word in the Greek language. It's typanos, which is translated as humility or meekness. Because everything in you wants to exalt you. Everything in Christ as Son of Man wanted to exalt him. He wanted to. Everything as Son of Man wanted to grab on and grasp that which is. And no, he said no. And the most despised word in the Greek language, typanos, became the only entrance into the kingdom of God. Well, that's not good for us. Hmm? We keep hearing over and over and over that the gospel is good news to modern man. Gospel, it's the gospel of the kingdom, or the gospel of God, or the gospel of Christ. It's good news to God, to the kingdom, to Christ, but it's the worst news there is for man. Because it cost you your life. But if you believe what I tell you, that your mind is the instead of Christ, the Antichrist, who has set himself up in the temple of God, you and I, showing himself that he is God, didn't show anybody else. Everybody else thinks he's a fool. But you show yourself that you are God because you judge for yourself good and evil, right and wrong, instead of living in that moment of dependence. So, this is the line of demarcation between Christianity and everything else. There's a theology of glory and the theology of the cross. They can never meet. The theology of the cross is, I die daily. I die second by second. I empty myself continually. The theology of glory is, I'll use all this stuff to enhance me.
You know, when I heard about the gospel, the good news to man, from what I learned, it was... you get good stuff from God, you get fixed, get delivered, be successful and all of that. Because the people who were telling me that the gospel of good news to man didn't say that it was about costing me everything. So that's why I thought.
Well, it's if you seek in any dimension to save your life, and you save your life by making you the subject of your sentence. If you seek to save your life, you will lose it. And that is an eternal issue. That isn't. You either have to throw this whole thing out and make up your own stuff, or you have to see it. You have to become. My words have, you have to go the Kenneth Copeland word. Your words have power. You create your reality.
You know, when you were talking about the Trinity, that so hit me that's the fundamental nature of love. Christ emptied himself, Holy Spirit emptied himself. What does God do but empty himself continually without respect of persons? Night or day, sex, whatever he gives without measure.
It
makes me loathe myself because there's, it's so desirable and yet I'm so incapable of that I only have one choice.
That's why he said, which we didn't get to today, but the great commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And the second is the same as the first. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And all these, on this hang the entire law and the prophets. Now, anybody can say, I love God. That's easy. But the word love there is the verb for love, agapeo. And we've talked about this 100 times. In fact, the last word in the next issue is about this. Agapeo is a common ordinary verb. And you love as a verb whatever you give importance to. And you can't love something. You can't love two things at the same instant. Just like there are never just two gods. There's never good and evil. It's just once you have good and evil, then you have 5,000 follow. But remember, the word iniquity, Avon in Hebrew, Abin, Avon calling, iniquity is the word for self-seeking. And it doesn't matter whether you're doing it in Jesus' name or Bruce's name or in Gary's name. As long as you're self-seeking.
It's interesting that Avon's a makeup.
Well, I know. That's why I said that. Avon calling, that was their That's why the company Avon failed in Israel. Think on these things.